Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
So in 2020, Lighthouse Community, we launched what now is known as Lighthouse Online, and we pretty well did it out of necessity. If you remember, a couple things happened in 2020 that affected a lot of people and gathering and whatnot. And so we launched this Lighthouse Online, just trying to figure out a way to stay connected as a family. In the process of that, that ministry has really ended up becoming this wide net that, quite frankly, we don't even really know how to wrap our arms around and understand what the Lord is doing through that. What I can tell you is over the last 5 years, we know of a number of people who have said yes to Jesus. We've even had people travel from Georgia and Wyoming to come get baptized here because they came to faith through Lighthouse Online, and it's just been remarkable what God has done. And so I want to just say to our Lighthouse Online team in general, just want to express our thanks for, man, the last 5 years, you guys have done so good. And I'm just wondering if here in the house, if we can just let our team know, our ministry team know that we love them. We're grateful for everything you guys do. You are doing real ministry that is helping people take steps to say yes to Jesus. And so we're very grateful for that. And if you're joining online, maybe you just might shout a big thanks in the comment sections or something along those lines. Well, Lighthouse Online, we've been going for the last 5 years. We're actually going to make another step. And to help us understand what that next step is, I'm going to invite Lance Ray to come out. He's our Lighthouse Online director and give an update of what's going on. And so would you guys welcome Lance Ray this morning. Hey, buddy, why don't you let us know what's going on with Lighthouse Online?
Yeah, thank you, Fritz. Well, I'm really excited to announce this to you, but we're actually going to be launching our own Lighthouse Online campus. So one of our values here is we invite each other into real steps of growth. And like Fritz mentioned, we wanted to extend that to the Lighthouse Online family as well. So what this looks like is during the 909 service, when we live stream, you can actually get on our online campus, and there's a postcard in your welcome packet that will kind of give you some details on that. And there's actually a QR code, so next week you guys can scan the QR code and join the Lighthouse Online campus if you find yourself tuning online that week. Or, like he said, if you're part of the Lighthouse Online family, you can do that as well. What that looks like is it allows us to engage with each other. So we can engage with each other. We'll be able to share next steps, share scripture from the online Bible that's on there, and actually be able to pray with each other in real time with one of our online hosts. And what that is, it actually invites us into a serving role. So not only for those of you in the house, there's a next step on your connection card where you can find out more ways to serve our online community, but actually I want to extend a welcome to that serving role to you tuning in exclusively online. This is for you as well. And if you are more interested in doing that, just go to Lighthouse Online if you're watching live right now and just fill out the online connection card, and we'll make sure we send you more information about that. We're really excited to see what God will do through this online campus and the next step he has for us. So and you're all invited to tune in next week at 9:09 on the online campus. So thanks, guys.
All right. Hey, thanks, Lance. Appreciate it. So, by the way, that host role, that's a discipling role. It's a shepherding role. It's not a technology role. So some of you guys are going, Lighthouse Online, I couldn't do anything with that. Actually, the way that Lance has designed this, it's really user-friendly, and it's way, way more about shepherding and discipling people than it is about the technology side. So I hope you'll check that out. That might be a right fit for some of you here in the house. So about 6 months ago, Lance and I started talking about Lighthouse Online and what that would mean and what that would look like. And he stepped into that role, and he's been doing fantastic leading that ministry for the last 6 months. And so we met about a month ago, and I asked Lance, I said, hey, look, you're doing great. This is awesome. And I just have a question. Are you doing this because I asked you to, and you're a man of your word, and you're making it happen? I said, or is the Lord maybe like using you and drawing your attention and raising up something inside of you that's new? And I won't forget, you know, we're sitting across the table and he's like, man, when I first got into this, I didn't know what I was doing at all. And as I've learned and developed and those types of things, he says, man, I am so excited to help people take steps in knowing who Jesus is. He goes, I just want everybody to know who Jesus is and how they can walk with him. And I think this is a simple platform to enable them to do that. And man, I was listening to him share that. I'm going, yes, yes. Like, this is the right guy. He's less excited about the technology. He's more excited about what the Lord is going to do in people's lives. He says, you know, I just want people to be able to know God and experience the power of Jesus in their lives. I think that's great. It is that simple when we're talking about walking with God. Walking with God really can be that simple, right? There was a moment when a religious expert came to Jesus and he said, hey, Jesus, out of the 613 laws in the Old Testament, which one is the most important? And if you're familiar with Scripture, you know that Jesus' response was, well, it would be love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus said this, all of the law and all of the prophets, essentially saying all of Scripture is summed up in these two statements, right? And so what Jesus is saying, he's going, it's that simple when it comes to walking with God. It really is. It's that simple. And it's that deep and that profound. Have you ever tried to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Have you ever tried to love your neighbor the way you love yourself? It's simple, but it's very, very deep and it's very profound. But walking with God can be that simple. And that's what we're talking about today. So if you brought a Bible with you, turn to Exodus chapter 33, but also find Matthew 17. So we're going to start in Exodus 33. We're going to make our way over to Matthew 17. If you got your phone or your device, you can do a little bleep loop on that and get to Exodus 33. While you're going there, my name is Fritz. I'm one of the pastors here. Really glad you're with us. Especially want to welcome all of our guests here in the house. And as Lance had mentioned, we want to welcome everybody who's joining at Lighthouse Online. Thanks for being with us today. We're actually landing a series we started a few weeks ago called God Is, and we've been looking at the character of God from Exodus 33. And so week one, we talked about the idea, the truth, that God is very different from us, his holiness, right? He's separated from sin, and he's very, very unique from anything else. Last week, we talked about the idea that God is approachable, right? We can come to him through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And today, we're going to be looking at the reality that God is glorious and unpack what that means and what that looks like. But before we go any further, let's take a moment and pray. Holy Spirit, we really, really want to, and quite frankly, we need to hear from you through the truth of Scripture. If my friends and family are a lot like me, I'm less interested in what I have to say. I'm way, way more interested in what you have to say through the Scriptures. And so I would pray two things in this moment. The first one would be, would you lead us to a place of faith that that we look at the Scriptures not just as a book or an ancient document that has lasted a long time, but to understand the Scriptures as being the Word of God. And it's true, and it's real, and it's the most accurate thing we'll ever come across. The other thing, Holy Spirit, I would ask you to do is to open our ears and to open our hearts to receive truth from the Scripture. We ask those things by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Okay, Exodus, we are in chapter 33, and we're going to start in verse 12, and here's what it says. It says, Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. And the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. And then Moses said, now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there's a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I'll put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. Now, what's very interesting about this is you see right in this passage, you see God's holiness. He's very different from us, right? You can't see my face. If you see it, you will die. But you also see his approachability, right? I will let you see some of me, right? And he's talking with Moses. But there's something interesting that I want to pull out of there, and it's this, to start off with. It's there's this passage really exposes Moses' desires. It really kind of rips open Moses' internal desires within him are on display in this. And the first desire we see here really quickly is Moses says, man, God, I want to know you. I want to know you. And so he asks God, he says, will you teach me your ways? Teach me your ways. So the question is, well, why? Why does Moses want to know God's ways? Is it so that he can live a better life? Is it so people will look up to him? Is it so he can, you know, get other people to do what he wants? Right? That's the question. Why do you want to know God's ways? And here's what he goes, I just want to know you. Teach me your ways, because I just want to know you. That's very different from teach me your ways so I can live a blessed life. Teach me your ways so that I can get my husband to do what I've been wanting him to do for quite some time, but he hasn't been doing for quite some time, right? That's not it at all. This is it. I just want to know you, God. I want to know you. I want to walk with you, all of that. And then he says this, right? He has this other desire. He goes, God, I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you. Because they're on their way, right? Moses and Israel, they're on their way to the promised land. They've just been freed out of Egypt, and they're going to the promised land. And there was a moment where God was going, listen, your sin, your idolatry, it's so overwhelming. I'm not going with you. And Moses says, he goes, listen, if you're not going to go with us, I don't even want the promised land. If you're not going to be there, I have zero desire to show up to the promised land. And if you know the scriptures, you know that the promised land, this is this amazing land that's flowing with milk and honey. There's blessing there. It's an incredible piece of property. And it's going to like solve a lot of challenges that they're dealing with. And Moses says, I don't want that blessing if you're not going to be there. In fact, I'd rather stay in the wilderness with you than to go into the blessing without you. You know what Moses is saying? He's saying, I'd rather have you in the struggle than to enjoy blessings without your presence. This is what Moses is saying. I would rather have you in the struggle than to enjoy a blessed life and you're nowhere around. Guys, Moses, he just wanted God. That's it. I just want you. I'm not trying to use you. I'm not trying to get stuff from you. I just want you. And then he makes this request. He says, show me your glory. That feels weird to me. Does that feel weird to anybody else when we were reading that? Like I read that and, you know, Moses was like, now show me your glory. And I'm like, I don't know. The reason I'm going is like, what more was there? Right? Think about it. We talked about this last week. God rescued Moses from sure death as an infant. That's pretty glorious. Moses met with God in a burning bush. That's pretty glorious. Moses was there leading Israel out of Egypt through the 10 plagues. That's pretty glorious. Then you have the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, walking across on the Red Sea on dry land. That seems pretty glorious. You got the manna from heaven. You got the law coming from God off of the mountain. That all feels pretty glorious. And yet Moses has the audacity to say to God, show me your glory. That's weird. Unless Moses understands something about glory that I don't understand about glory. That perhaps the miracles are not actually the glory of God. What if the amazing, mighty acts of God, the walking across on Red Sea, the pillars, the burning bush, right? All of, what if that's actually not the glory of God? Right? A lot of people get excited about the miracles and the amazing things, and oh man, this was such a cool coincidence. That was only could be set up by the Lord, right? And I know I saw his glory. But perhaps Moses knew something that many of us don't know, and that's this, that miracles aren't God's glory. Then what is? What is God's glory? Well, I did some digging, and there's a lot of things I found, and I'm just going to give you the condensed version of what I've discovered when it comes to defining God's glory. No one really knows, right? Like, people use words like resplendent magnificence. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. I had to go look up resplendent and then magnificence, right? I don't. And they were like, well, it's glorious. You know, like using words to define themselves. Scholars like would point to stuff and they would go, and quite frankly, I think the really good ones would be honest and go, we don't really know. The scriptures, you know, the original language for the Hebrew, the word that's translated glory means heavy, right? I'm glorious. Like, if we're going to use that, right? And so nobody really understands. But here's what I would say. Nobody really knows how to define God's glory, but in the scriptures, you know it when you see it. Let me say that again. Nobody really knows how to define glory right now, but when you look in the scriptures, you know it when you see it. If you're not familiar, there's a moment in Isaiah 6 where the prophet Isaiah is in the temple. He has a vision where he's in the temple, and he says, the train of God's robe filled the temple, and his holiness and his glory showed up. And you want to know what Isaiah's response was? It wasn't, that's cool. You know, no, you know what it was? He saw God's holiness and his glory, and it caused him to see his own sin with greater clarity. And this was his response: I'm going to die. That was his response. I am sinful, and I'm about to die in the presence of a holy God. It overwhelmed him, almost terrified him, right? Falls to the ground, right? He's like looking at the stuff, and it's too much. He knew God's glory when he saw it. Hard to describe, but he knew it when he saw it. The prophet Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 44, he has a vision. And in verse 4, part of this vision, he says, then the man brought me by way of the north gate to the front of the temple. I looked and saw the glory of the Lord filling the temple of the Lord, and I fell face down. He sees the glory of the Lord, and he falls prostrate on the ground. Didn't know how to really describe it, but you know it when you see it. Here's what I want to tell you. They didn't know in the Old Testament quite how to define and describe the glory of God. If you fast forward to the New Testament, you get a lot of clarity to it. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. This tells us what the glory of God is. Actually, let's read this passage out loud together, starting with the sun. Are you ready? Go. The sun is the radiance of and the exact representation of his being. What is the glory of God? The sun. Jesus. Jesus is the glory of God. Right? Some of you are going, well, that's just one verse. Okay, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. You think it has anything to say about God's glory? Yeah, let's read it. For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, he has made this light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Guys, you have to understand the glory of God is the Son. Jesus Christ is the exact representation of the glory of God. He is the glory of God. In fact, there was a moment when Jesus was with his disciples, and I think it was Philip, had the audacity to say to Jesus, hey, just show us the Father, and that's enough for us. And Jesus goes, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Right? It's John 14. So if you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. Jesus is the glory of God. Now, in Exodus 33, Moses says, show me your glory. Now, as far as I can tell, I've read through Exodus a couple times, And I cannot see a moment in Exodus 33 where it's recorded that Moses gets to see God's glory in that. Now, I believe that God did show him his glory at some point, but for whatever reason, it's not recorded in the book of Exodus. We don't see it explicitly. But God's a man of his word, or excuse me, he's a being of his word, I believe that he did show his glory. So we don't know of an instance in Exodus 33 where it happened, but there is a moment in Matthew chapter 17 that happens. And perhaps this will give a little bit of context to that moment. In Matthew chapter 17, well, let's just read this. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. What does transfigured mean? Nobody knows. Well, there's a lot of speculation, but honestly, nobody knows. But here's the description that Matthew gives. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. And so, like, he's beaming, right? There's, like, all of this brightness and all of this, like, coming off of Jesus. He's transfigured in this moment. Verse 3, just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. In Exodus 33, Moses says, show me your glory. And God says, okay. In Matthew 17, when Jesus is transfigured in all of his glory, he's beaming with light, Moses is there. And he's a witness to God in the flesh, in this world, right? I believe that Moses got to see it at some point in his earthly life, but we also know God let him see his glory through Jesus in Matthew 17 when he was on the earth. That's a God who keeps his promises. I think it's awesome. I think it's incredible. Listen, the more Moses encountered God, it changed him. It transformed him. It made him different. And in fact, it changed him to the point where all that Moses wanted was God. He was less interested in God's stuff. He was less interested in the miracles. He was less interested in the blessings. And he just wanted God. That was it. Nothing else. So what does all that mean for you and me? Probably a lot of things. But there's one that I think I might pull out really quickly, and it's this. Is invite God to become your highest desire. Invite God to become your highest desire. Now, that's a loaded statement, and I think the first question becomes, well, how in the world do I do that? How do I invite God to become my highest desire? I think the first way is this, is you actually have to be honest about your true desires. You actually have to be really transparent before the Lord and before yourself. Like, you don't try to fool yourself. You don't try to kid yourself. You're just like, man, this is actually what I really want more than anything else. Be honest about your true desires. There was a Christian who lived in the 4th and 5th centuries. His name was Augustine. Really, really thoughtful guy. Wrote a number of things that help us to know the Lord a little bit more. But one of the key things that Augustine wrote is he said, listen, one of the things that we suffer from is we suffer from loves that are out of order. He would call them disordered loves, right? We have these loves in our life that are out of order than they should be. And he also said, we typically tend to be shaped less by what we think or do and far more by the things that we love. This is what Augustine said. He said, we're shaped less by what we think or do and more by what we love. And so the problem isn't so much that we don't love, right? You may look at some people and go, oh, well, they're not very loving, right? Their problem is they don't really love. It's not that we don't love, but rather that we often love less important things more and more important things less. That's our problem. We love less important things more and the more important things less. And Augustine said that the unhappiness and the disorder that we experience in our lives are actually caused by the disorder of our loves. When our loves are out of whack, when our loves are out of order, that's where conflict, tension, right? Sin, all of that begins to bubble out of that. Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 2, verse 11, he says that very thing centuries before Augustine did. He goes, listen, speaking for God, he says, my people have exchanged their glorious God for worthless idols. Here you have this God who is very different from us. He's untainted by sin, and yet he's approachable, and he's glorious, and we would rather have something made out of wood, metal, money, right? We would rather worship these other created things than this glorious God. That's what Jeremiah says. He says, our problem is we have loves out of order. Now, before some of you, because some of you guys, you get an idea and you just go like 100 miles an hour with it as soon as you get it, right? You go, that's it. I'm not loving anything else except the Lord, right? I'm going to show my job I don't love him. I'm going to show my friend. You know, no, listen, it's not wrong to love your work. It's not wrong to love a hobby. It's not wrong to love your family. Right? It's not wrong to love these other things. The problems arise when we love those things more than we love the Lord. That's when things get out of order, right? When we love our family more than the Lord, when we love our hobbies more than we love our family, that's disordered loves. When we love something, anything, more than the Lord, that's out of whack, right? And so you have to understand that and be aware. Those are disordered loves. So the question is, how in the world do we reorder? I'm going to tell you very quickly. It's three words: confession, repentance, and worship. How do we reorder our loves? Confession, repentance, and worship. Let me give you really brief, simple definitions to these words. Confession literally is this: agreeing with God about what is true. That's what confession is. It's agreeing with God about what is true. If we detail that a little bit more, it's going, God, I see how holy and how glorious you are. And I also see how sinful I am. That's confession. I confess that you are glorious, you are holy, you are amazing, and I confess that I am sinful. I see that with clarity. I agree with what you see. I see what you see about you. I see what you see about me. That's confession. I see it and I agree with it. Now, repentance is the decision that my current order is wrong and I'm going to reorder my loves under God's leadership. That's repentance. Repentance is a decision. I see that my current order of loves is out of order. It's wrong, and I'm going to reorder those loves under God's leadership. And so that begs the question, what's the order? What's the order? Well, Jesus told us. Remember the expert of the law who came? What's the most important law in all the 613 commands? What was his response? Love the Lord your God with everything. Love the Lord your God first. Love the Lord your God most with everything you have inside of you. And the second is just like it. Love others, right? And let me tell you, that's a bit of a two-step progression, right? Is as I begin to see how God has loved me, and that changes me, and God is changing me, right? I'm loving him, and now my love for others is an outflow, right? It's a response to God's love for me. That's very, very different than some of you who right now you are trying to figure out how I'm going to leave this place and love other people gooder, right? You're like trying to figure out, and some of you are really angry. I just said gooder, and you're not going to hear anything else, right? But that's the thing, right? We're not talking about you disciplining yourself and being a better person and doing, you know, love push-ups and those types of things. It's like, no, it's actually receiving the love of God, loving God in return, and then the outflow of that is loving others the way that I would love myself in the Lord. And so that's repentance. And that leads into worship. You know what worship is? Worship is just walking that out every day. It's working that out every day. It's confessing every day, it's repenting every day, and it's saying, I'm going to walk with you, Lord, every day. This moment's your moment. I tried to take it as my own, but I'm giving it back to you. This is trusting the Lord day in and day out. That's how you reorder your loves. Confession, repentance, worship again and again and again and again. Now, here's the second way you invite God to become your highest desire is, right, you're transparent about your current desires, and then you let the Holy Spirit transform your desires. You let the Holy Spirit transform your desires, right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, Paul wrote this. He said, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." And so, right, we're reflecting on God's glory. We're beginning to see that there are some thoughts, some perspectives that I thought were right. They seem right to me. They feel right to me. They feel natural to me. But when I look at Scripture, they're actually in opposition to what Scripture teaches about the character of God and the way he's designed me to live. And so as I'm looking, I'm contemplating, I'm meditating on God's glory, the Spirit is transforming me. He's changing my life. He's changing my heart. He's shifting my desires. And here's the reality. Some of the desires that you and I have in our lives, it will be very painful to resist those because they seem so natural to us. They've become very ingrained. They're very habitual. They seem right. And yet when you look at the Scriptures, when you see the character of God, you cannot walk away from that unless you do theological gymnastics to wipe that stuff away, right? And we let the Spirit transform our lives. And what we're really talking about here, right, what Jesus is the glory of God, and where has God clearly revealed Jesus, his glory, right? It's in the Scriptures. So what Paul's really talking about, he's like, man, reading the Bible, you see the character of God, you see the glory of God, you see Jesus at work in this world. When you read the Scriptures and you meditate on them and you contemplate, man, that will change your life. And in fact, if you remember that moment with Jesus, Moses, and Elijah on the mountain, we ended a little bit early, but if you go to verse 5, Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, here's what God says. He goes, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." What's his last words? Listen to him. Listen to him, right? How do we listen to him? The Scriptures. The Scriptures. We read the Scriptures, we meditate on the Scriptures, and we let the Spirit transform us in the process. Guys, this is how you invite God to become your highest desire. And I've got to tell you, this, you don't encounter the glory of God by chasing after experiences, right? Some people, they try to make it to concerts and conferences and retreats and this thing and that thing. And the hopes are, if I can get the chill, if I can get that feeling that runs down my back and gives me a little wiggle, then that's the glory of God filling me in that moment, right? You're chasing the miracles and then going, that's the glory of God. But Moses knew what we don't understand. Miracles aren't the glory of God. What's the glory of God? Jesus. Jesus is the glory of God, right? In fact, Jesus told a parable. He told this parable. He said, listen, there was a rich man who died and there was a poor man who died. The poor man went to heaven. The rich man went to hell, right? They're separated out of that. Well, the rich man, he says to Abraham, who's in heaven, he goes, listen, send Lazarus back from the dead to warn my brothers about this place. I don't want them to come here. I have five brothers. Send Lazarus back to warn them. And Abraham's reply to the dead man says, they have the Scriptures. That's enough. And the rich man goes, no. But if, here's what he says. He goes, if someone rises from the dead and goes and tells them, then they will repent and they'll stay away from this place. You know what Abraham's response was? If they don't believe the Bible, then somebody rising from the dead won't be enough to convince them either. That was his response. If they don't believe the Bible, then they're not going to be convinced even when someone rises from the dead. Here's what I want to tell you. You don't have to go chase after some emotional experience to encounter the glory of God. He's revealed his glory right here. Do you know that the Word of God is living and active? Do you know as you're reading the Scriptures are reading you? Do you know as you're reading the Bible, it's revealing the intentions and the desires of your heart? God has already revealed his glory. You don't have to go chasing after it in some experience or some place or some location. It's right here in truth. Let the Spirit reveal God's character. Let him reorder your loves with God being the highest. Now, when I very first came to faith as a young man, just being transparent with you here in the house and all of our super close friends at Lighthouse Online, when I very first came to faith in Jesus Christ, a big part of the motivation of that, I needed a better life. That's what I needed, and I wanted a better life. I could see the trajectory of where my life was going under my leadership, and I saw the direction. It was no good. And I needed a better life. That was the starting place for me. And I saw that Jesus could provide that. Now, that's where it began. The more I walked with him, the more I came to know him, the more I saw his character from the scriptures, the more I discovered who God is, what he had done, what he'd accomplished, all of these things, my desire moved away from just wanting a better life. And God grew me and matured me to the point where, guys, I'm getting to the point in my life where it's just like, I get what Moses is saying. I just want him. I just want him. I'm less impressed with I'm thankful that God sends blessings into my life. I think it's wonderful, and it's a sign that, right, he's like showing me things. But also, I'm okay when my family and I go through struggles because I know God's there. And I get what Moses is saying. I would rather have God in the struggles than have a great blessed life without him present. I don't know if that's where you start always on day one of walking with Jesus. I think that's something that the Holy Spirit grows us to and progresses us to, right? We start somewhere, but we don't stay there. God invites us forward. God invites us to increased holiness. God invites us to stiff arm things that we thought were right but are actually sinful, right? That this is who God is. When you truly experience the glory of God, which is Jesus Christ himself, your life will be changed. It will be different. It can't but be. It's just who God is. And at that point, then you'll discover that walking with God, it really is that simple. Just walking with him. Loving him first, loving him most. Loving others as yourself, and trusting God to order everything else rightly by his leadership. It really is that simple. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes and give you an opportunity to ask the question, Jesus, what are you saying to me through this message? And I just want to give you a chance to listen to him for a moment. God, we do praise you that you are glorious. We don't grasp what that word means. But we do know that Jesus is the glory of God, and we're thankful that you have revealed him with remarkable clarity. And so my prayer is that you would draw our attention, you would draw our hearts to the scriptures, because he's clearly revealed there. And my prayer is this, is actually you, your spirit would cause us to stiff arm gray fuzzy ideas about you or religion, and we would replace that with clear truth from scripture. And I think if every one of us were to be honest, myself included in this room and joining online, we have loves that are out of order. And I'm wondering, Spirit, if you would teach us and lead us in how to reorder those loves. Anything that is in place of the Lord, would you grant us the courage, the boldness, and the faith to just crush that and just get it out of the way and put God first and most, put Jesus first and most, put the Spirit first and most, and let you lead us to that place and to see how you transform our lives through that. God, my prayer is that we would see you with remarkable clarity. Just our eyes opened wider, brighter, we would be able to drink all of you in as much as we're capable of, and to know there's still more. There's still, we will never exhaust an infinitely glorious God. And I'm thankful for that. We want to pray for you here in the house. And to do that, we're going to sing just one more song. And so the band's going to come up. They're going to lead us in one last song. And we're going to have prayer leaders who will be available in the four corners of the room, just like always. So we'll have one up here on my right, one over here on my left. And then the two in the back will be a little bit closer to the sound booth as opposed to the far corners. And you'll know that they're a prayer leader because they have this gray lanyard. And so I remember to get mine today. And so that's one way that you'll know that that is a prayer leader that you can be praying with. And so I'm going to ask those prayer leaders to still go to those locations now, and appreciate you doing that. And this is a moment you can pray about absolutely anything, right? Anything at all. And you don't have to be a member to receive prayer at Lighthouse Community. And you don't, you know, communion, you do need to be a member of God's family. But for prayer, anybody, right? It could be your first time. You're just going, man, I'm trying to figure out who God is and I'm not of faith yet. We would love to pray with you this morning. And please don't ever be embarrassed. You don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to be ashamed. None of that. Because all of us need prayer, right? Every single one of us. So if you're here in the house, I'm going to ask you to stand as we transition into a time of singing and prayer. And then I'm going to invite you to pray too. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to pray, don't wait. We'd love to pray with you.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.